Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, and during the month of October, we are giving away one heck of a prize, a $300 Amazon gift card. If you want a chance at winning it, all you got to do is give us a review on Apple Podcasts, then shoot me a screenshot of it by emailing contest@realghoststoriesonline.com. Again, very simple. Leave Real Ghost Stories Online a review on Apple Podcasts, then send me the screenshot to contest@realghoststoriesonline.com. On Halloween, we'll pick our winner and notify him via email. A $300 Amazon gift card. You can buy all sorts of spooky Halloween stuff on close-up by the time Halloween comes around, or use it for Christmas. Leave that review now and then send me the screenshot, contest@realghoststoriesonline.com. Good luck.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online, 31 days of Halloween. An extra ghost story a day to keep the spirits at bay.
Matthew here from Montreal. I told you last time the story of my growing up in a haunted house where I was the only sensitive one, with a bunch of ghosts being my first bullies. So, a few years later, I was visiting houses with my mom. She wanted to rent a house instead of an apartment so that we would have more space and it would be more comfortable. This one house had more prospect than the other, more possibilities, because it was well located, the price was just right for my mom, and it was close to my school. It was close to the cemetery, which I was fascinated with. I thought, hey, maybe I can go exploring it more often, because I had been there once before. And so, excited, both of us were like, hey, this looks promising. So, and traffic was not heavy in that area, so peaceful at night was another great advantage. But as soon as I got inside the house, I started feeling a bit weak. I thought maybe it was my dinner not agreeing with me or something. I was prone to that, so I just chucked it off to that. My mom went upstairs to explore while the agent was just hanging back waiting for our questions and stuff. So I actually went to the living room, and the more I approached it, the fainter I felt, the weaker I felt. And then I heard a message in my head. Nothing auditory, I couldn't hear it in my ears, but there was something in my head that said loudly, that screamed at me specifically, "Get out! You're not wanted here!" It was angry. It was so angry that I had to scream. I fell on my knees, because at that point I also started hallucinating. Visually speaking, I saw the floor and the walls, but mostly the floors, doing waves, as if a lake suddenly became stormy, and you know, peaks and valleys of the water. And that was happening in front of me, and I had seen that once before, but that was the time when my eyes decided it was suddenly time for me to get glasses. Around the same time, actually. It was like months before that. So it's like it summoned it again. It was like my brain got that recording back, or maybe that thing provoked it in me. But I saw this and I felt so bad that I had to scream, "Mom, help!" And so she ran down the stairs, and I could just babble. I could just talk quickly. I just said, outside, please. So she actually had to help me walk out the house until we were on the patio in the backyard. I said, "Mom," when I could catch my breath again, I said, "Mom, if you move, you know, remember that house when I was a kid, the ghosts and stuff. This is similar. If you decide to choose this house, I promise, I swear I'm going to move in with that." She knew I was dead serious and I wasn't joking, because she had been open-minded about these things now for a few years after moving out of the house. She was actually visiting mediums at that point, I think, probably starting to, as a hobby with some friends. But she was already open to that possibility, so she believed me. And she knew I was dead serious, because my father's wife was a tyrant. And she did everything she could to make my life a living hell when I was there over the weekends. So if I was willingly going to move with them, then the reason for that was dead serious. So she finally, at that point, was open-minded enough to believe me. And we did not rent that house, thankfully. So that was the thing. After years of not feeling much of the paranormal stuff, I mean, some strange, vague feelings, but nothing powerful like that, had happened for a few years. But from that moment on, a few things started happening more. Maybe I became, again, more open to it. I don't know. So around the same time of the year, of that, same time of my teenage years, I forgot to mention I was a teenager at that point, 12, probably. I was hanging out with some friends at, you know, in a neighborhood not too far from that house, actually, but a different one, further, maybe 15 minutes of a bicycle ride away from that house. Anyways, my friend had a powerful computer for the time. It was the 90s at that point. And we were playing video games every weekend, sometimes all night. And I had no curfew. My parents trusted me. So whether I was at my mother's house where I lived permanently or at my father's house during one weekend out of two, I could just come out at any time I wanted, you know, come back, as long as I didn't wake anybody up. So that was great. I understand that was a great privilege, so I did not abuse it. And we would just play video games and sometimes try to make our own. It was fun. It was great. A bunch of geeks in a basement, left alone mostly, snacks, drinks of sodas and stuff. Amazing. Amazing times. So one of those nights, I was coming back with a whole bunch of video games to install on my computer. Perfect weather. It was the summertime. Not too hot, not too cold. It was actually body temperature, my favorite kind of temperature at night. It was like the night was giving you a hug. I felt particularly happy and grateful for being alive. And telling that to myself at that point, I was like, isn't that a wonderful night? And then seconds later, after thinking that or saying that out loud, because I do speak to myself a lot, I felt a sudden danger of my life being in danger. I felt threat, like some predator was after me that was going to shred me. Of course, I have a very powerful logical side that's constantly fighting with my emotional and more artistic side. And that logical side was like, please investigate, look around, smell, hear, do something, try to find the source of that threat. There was nothing. The night, according to my regular senses, was just the same as before when I was saying I was so happy. But I knew, and that all happened within 2 or 3 seconds, of course, that whole reflection. I started running for my life. I ran, and I was a chubby kid. If I ran away from a bunch of bullies, I probably would last a minute and they would catch me and, you know, pummel me to the ground. You know, and that did happen several times, so I knew what that was. But now my life was in danger. I ran for 5 minutes, 6 minutes straight, all the way to the bridge. I didn't stop until I felt safe. And the middle of the bridge is the first time when the switch went off, I was totally safe. The feeling was gone. Now, being curious and interested in those things, I thought to myself, maybe I should investigate. But of course, my more logical side was like, maybe you don't want to risk it. So I went home, still freaked out. The next week, next weekend, I went back to that same guy's place, but I was on a bicycle that time, and I took another street to go there. But on my way back, I thought, you know what? I still have to investigate, because I'll regret it later if I don't. So I actually went back to that spot that the week before I had been almost killed. And yes, I'm 38. All these years later, I'm convinced if I had stuck around there, I would have died. I would have been shredded to bits by some kind of invisible, unseenable, invisible creature. I never could understand that. I call it the roaming threat. I felt something similar 2 more times in my life. Thankfully, both times I was indoors and there was some kind of thing that prevented it from getting inside. So, that threat was pretty much of a shock. Either that same summer or the next one, I was going to the same group of friends, another house, however, a little bit further down in the same neighborhood. And I saw, that's a different story, by the way, I saw a cat coming out from behind a suburban-style house, you know, the kind that so many houses are built the same in the same neighborhood. Well, that was basically the kind of place it was. The cat came out of one of the houses and then stopped in the middle of the front yard and looked at me. And I was, at that point, I was riding my bicycle as slowly as someone walking. Kind of like that. I hear someone walking now. I don't know if you can. But I was just enjoying my evening, early evening, summertime again. So I was just taking my time. I was really early. I had to show up at a specific time at my friend's place. So I was just enjoying myself. And I said hi to the cat, as I usually do to this day. I'm polite to cats and dogs. I just say hi. So I did. And then another cat did the same thing. Came out from behind a bush or something and then stopped in the middle of the front yard. Another front yard. Maybe the neighbors. Maybe the one in diagonal across the street. But several cats did that in a row within a minute. And then more and more. And when there was about a dozen cats having done that same very thing on each their different yard, and I was still riding my bike, again, about walking speed, or maybe brisk walking speed, it is a bicycle after all, eventually they stood up and started all walking in my direction, while other cats kept appearing from behind other houses and other bushes and other trees. And they were not running after me, they just walked, and I was still riding at the same speed. But eventually, when there was about 24 cats, I had this strange feeling that there was a message. Like, not as strong as that one I just told you about, the one about, you know, yelling at me to get out, I'm not wanted here. But it was a clear message like, you don't belong here, human. You don't want to witness this. We don't want to hurt you. They were not words, but the feelings translate to that as far as I can explain. So I started pedaling really, really fast. Didn't want to judge it. Didn't want to examine it. Didn't want to risk it. I know these cats were not evil. I'm sure of that. I haven't met many animals who are. I have, but very few. These cats were concerned. They had some kind of rare meeting going on, or were going to have one. And if I had stuck around for too long, they would have had to hurt me. You know, kind of like it's the law. We have to make sure we don't have any witnesses. I don't know what that was about still today, decades later, but it's always fascinated me, that whole thing about cats having a secret life. Some will say it's just your imagination, but I was fully awake. It was like 6 p.m., and again, I love cats, I love dogs, I love all pets, and they usually love me back, so I'm still not afraid of cats. I just don't want to mess with their secret life if I can avoid it. So that was the strange cat story. Well, that same night, actually, I went to that other friend's place, and I closed the door right behind me, and I told him about what happened, and we just, instead of video games that night, we just told each other the scariest ghost stories we could remember. And the guy whose house it was could not sleep for a week. He was angry at me for having started that whole thing. So that's how powerful storytelling can get for you. So there you go, 3 stories and 1 for tonight. I'll call back or send in more stories for you. Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so pleasant and non-threatening for those of us who have not always been able to share these stories with regular folks. Have a good night. Matthew in Montreal.
Real Ghost Stories Online, 31 days of Halloween. An extra story a day to keep the spirits at bay. For commercial-free ghost stories, the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, and exclusive bonus episodes of Real Ghost Stories Online, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, now at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories.